Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that as we read it now and hear it explained, that you would open our eyes, that you'd open our hearts, that we may know you more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Well, evening, everyone. Keep that passage open in front of you. There's not many verses there, but I'll tell you, they're pretty good. 1 John 1. Isn't it the case that there are some bits of information that are just not meant to be kept to yourself? Some types of news, they just need to be shared. For example, from Tuesday week, the roundabout out here on George and Howick, it's going to be closed from this Tuesday week. It's going to be closed to all traffic for about a month. So when you come to church, no matter which direction you approach from, that road, that intersection is going to be blocked. You're going to have to do a U-turn, go back the way you came. Now, that's a bit of news that needs to be shared. The council certainly thinks so. And so for weeks now, they've had it on their website. They've been sending out updates of the work on the roundabout to all the businesses in the affected area. There's been articles in the paper. It's going to affect a lot of people, so they're making sure that the news is out there. On the other hand, what I had for breakfast this morning, it's not really so relevant for too many other people. Although, if you can believe Facebook, clearly some people do think that what they have for breakfast matters to a lot of people. But there actually are some types of news that by their very nature, by their very relevance, by their effect on other people, some types of news just needs to get out there. Tonight in our passage, the Apostle John, as he opens the starts writing the letter which we call 1 John, the Apostle John has got some news that he wants to get out there. You can tell that from the passage itself. Did you notice as it was being read that it's all about John proclaiming something? Verse 1, this we proclaim. Verse 2, we proclaim to you. Verse 3 again, we proclaim to you. Clearly, John has something that he wants to share. And in tonight's passage, he even starts to tell us why he so badly wants to share it. This we proclaim. And then he tells us what the news is. And then he says, so that this might happen for you. This we proclaim, so that. It's pretty much the flow of these few verses. Let's firstly think about what it is that he wants to proclaim. Because it turns out to be way more important than a roundabout. It turns out to be something that will change your life forever. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. There's a lot going on in those two verses. Notice the key idea that life has appeared. It's mentioned twice so that we don't miss it. It's there at the end of verse 1. This we proclaim concerning the word of life, the life appeared. And then it gets mentioned again just at the end of verse 2. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. Twice he wants us to know that life has appeared. Which all sounds a little weird, a little abstract. John is, of course, referring to the appearing of Jesus. You can tell that because of what he later goes on to say in in the letter, but also because phrases like this are the same as phrases that the Apostle John uses in his gospel about Jesus. So it's pretty obvious that this life, this word of life, the eternal life who appeared, it's Jesus. So why doesn't he just say that? Why use all these other weird names? Well, it's because of the original audience that he is writing this letter to. Because you would have noticed as it was being read that the Apostle John just gets straight into it. There's no mention of who he's writing to. There's no mention of why he's writing to them. That'll become obvious in later weeks as we keep reading into the letter. And what will become obvious is that he is writing to a bunch of Christians so as to reassure them that as followers of Jesus, they have eternal life. Now, why they need to be reassured, we'll discover in later weeks. But for now, here at the very start, John is laying the foundation for them having confidence of having eternal life. He's laying the foundation of that by emphasising the link between Jesus and life. Jesus, after all, is God in the flesh. Jesus is the one through whom and for whom everything has been made. And so Jesus and life go together like peaches and cream. Or actually, they go together like peaches and peach trees. Because you simply cannot have life without Jesus. And therefore, just like Disneyland only exists because of Walt Disney, and the name reflects that, Disneyland, here in the opening verses, John is wanting to emphasise that life only exists because of Jesus, and so he uses his names for Jesus to reflect that, that Jesus is effectively Mr. Life, Mr. Word of Life, Mr. Eternal Life. And John wants us to know that Mr. Eternal Life has been here. The life appeared. The eternal life, which was with the Father, has appeared to us. Now, that's a big thought. I mean, John is telling us that he has bumped into and met the giver of life. The Apostle John is telling us here that he has bumped into God in Palestine. Really? That sounds like he's been smoking something. John himself can sense how incredible that sounds. That's why in these opening verses he includes all these phrases about we have heard, we have seen, we have looked at, we have touched. In verse 1 he even tells which bits of his body were involved. We have seen with our eyes, he says. Our hands are what touched him, he says. It's all overstated because he wants to emphasise the fact that life, it really did appear. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds laughable, but it happened is what he's saying. It actually struck me how laughable this must be to lots of people when a few years ago I was visiting an art gallery. And in this art gallery I found myself in front of a painting of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now that's an event that the Apostle John actually describes in his gospel. And I found myself in front of this painting of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead just at the time a museum guide turned up with a group of people on tour, and the guide started to explain to the group all about the painting. I love it when that happens and you get to listen in on for free. What I really remember about it though is that this guide, as they were describing the painting, she actually had to keep stopping to compose herself because she was laughing so much. Because it's crazy. Jesus bringing a dead person, such an out there story, it's just laughable. But in tonight's passage, it's as if the Apostle John is in that little tour group and he's jumping up in the air and he's waving his arms around and he's saying to the guide, look, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I was there. I'm telling you about things I've heard. I'm telling you about things which I and others have seen with our own eyes. I'm telling you about things we've looked at and our hands have touched. He can bring people back to life. He is Mr. Eternal Life, and I'm telling you, he appeared. This is deeply encouraging. The comfort of knowing that Jesus is not a made-up person. Please do not be put off by people who were not there, but who want to make fun of you for following Jesus. Take comfort from the Apostle John, who was there, and who says it makes complete sense to follow Jesus. It's not make-believe. I saw him. I heard him. I touched him. Mr. Eternal Life appeared in history. And the implications of that are enormous, which is what he now goes on to explain. Now, John is actually going to take the entire rest of the letter to explain fully the implications, but he makes a start in verse 3, where he says why he wants to tell them all about Jesus. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that, see, here it comes, here's why he's taking the trouble to tell them about Jesus. It's so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship's with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, do you notice the two reasons why he wants to tell them about the appearance of Jesus? It's so that, firstly, you may also have fellowship with us. In other words, John's wanting to tell them about Jesus to establish a closeness with them, to establish a togetherness, a fellowship between he and his readers, which is very interesting, very helpful. Because nowadays, we sometimes avoid talking about Jesus because it can sound a bit over the top and too fanatical and too divisive, and we don't want to start any arguments, so let's just not mention Jesus and let's not get too theological about things. John, however, when he wants to create fellowship with his readers, that's exactly when he does want to get all theological about Jesus. Because he doesn't just want pretend fellowship, he doesn't want a veneer of fellowship, he actually wants genuinely deep, rich fellowship built on the firm foundation of the truth about the real Jesus. That's why our small groups are such an important part of church life. That's why reading the Bible together in ones and twos is such an integral part of being within a Christian community. It's because, like John, here at BPC, we're shooting not for a veneer of fellowship, we're shooting for rich, meaningful closeness between each other. And that's built on sharing the same understanding of who the real historical Jesus is. So John's writing to tell his readers all about Jesus so that they'll have fellowship with him. But back in verse 3, he also points out that it's so that they'll have fellowship with God. We proclaim to you that we've seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship's with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. The clear implication there is that by hearing about Jesus, John's readers will not just get to join in fellowship with John, they'll also get to join in with John's fellowship with God, which makes complete sense of what it is because of what he's already said in the first two verses. Because if God has been here, if God has appeared, if Mr. Eternal Life has appeared, then the only way to join in and be involved with Mr. Eternal Life is to be told about him appearing and to be told about what he's like. See, imagine with me that during this last week, I met Queen Elizabeth down at the shops, just outside JB Hi-Fi. Now, just to be clear, this did not happen, okay? I'd hate there to be any confusion about this. I did not see the Queen down at Bathurst City Centre. But imagine I had. And imagine the reason the Queen was there was to give out complimentary holidays to England, all expenses paid, staying at Buckingham Palace, where you'll get to meet the Queen yourself. All you have to do is ring the travel agent, and when you book the trip, tell them that Liz sent you. Now, if that incredibly sounding but wonderful thing had actually happened, I'm not going to keep that to myself. And that's exactly what's happening here with John in the news about Jesus. And he didn't meet the queen down at the shops. He met God in Palestine. And it's not a pretend story, this one. It really happened. I heard it, I saw it, I touched him. John met God in the form of Jesus, come to earth to offer us not a place in Buckingham Palace, but a place in the new creation to be with our Creator. All because Jesus is going to give his life on a cross for us, which John will say a lot about next week. But for here, he just wants us to know that the offer's out there. An offer that once you've heard it, and once you believe it, and once you accept it, and once you trust it, and once you act on it, it's an offer that means you can actually have eternal life. Forget Buckingham Palace and the Queen. Being in a new creation with your Creator. Are you beginning to get a sense of why tonight's passage is about events that are not meant to be kept to ourselves? Jesus Christ, the Word of life, the giver of life, Mr. Eternal Life himself, has appeared. And it really happened. And because of that, once you've heard about it, once you've accepted it, and once you've acted on it, you really can have eternal life with God. Friends, there is comfort in this. I hope you can see it the way John intended it for his original readers. The comfort of knowing that Jesus is real, and that when we get together like this to talk about Jesus at night church and God and eternal life, and when we get together in our small group or meet up with other Christians and read the Bible together, and when we encourage each other just to stick with Jesus, when we're involved in Scripture, when we're going out visiting people from the community through contacts through the Mission Week, when we talk to our friends about Jesus, we're not wasting our time. This is not a word game tonight. We're not just talking about nice ideas. It's not made up. And because of that, we can really have eternal life. Which is exactly why John finishes the way he does in verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. See, John's not passing on. He's not writing this letter out of a sense of duty. He's writing his letter out of a sense of excitement. He's thrilled to proclaim that the Word of life appeared. He's ecstatic to let people know how they can have fellowship with God. He's delighted to tell people about Jesus. He says it makes his joy complete to be able to do that. Why would it not? Because remember, all this stuff about Jesus, it's actually true. See, let me return to my pretend meeting with the Queen down at the shops. Again, imagine I met the Queen at the shops handing out free trips to be with her at Buckingham Palace. But this time, imagine me not bothering to tell you about it. So over supper tonight, you ask me, "Hey, Bryson, how was your week? Anything much happen?" And I say, "Oh, no, not really. Pretty average week. Been a bit warm, hasn't it? Hey, did you watch the cricket last night? Wasn't that a good match?" How cheesed off would you be with me for not telling you about that offer? A free trip. Queen shout. And yet all I want to talk to is the sport and the weather? How little must I think of you to not tell you the news? Do you reckon there's someone in your life you need to talk to about Jesus? Because I'm telling you, there are some sorts of news that are just not meant to be kept to ourselves. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it. Testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, has appeared to us. And we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Because our fellowship's with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I'll pray. Father God, thank you so much for the truth of the real Jesus in history. Thank you for the solid foundation that gives our faith in you and our hope of eternal life. Father, thank you that because of the reality of Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope before you. Amen.